everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast, off-season edition. I'm Eric Horn. I'm in the Oklahoman studios with Barry Trammell and Maddie Lee of the Oklahoman, the newly rebranded Oklahoman.
No more news, okay.
Bye, news, okay. Am I right?
I believe that to be correct.
Oklahoman.com. If you don't know,
you know, I always wished back in the old days, in the prehistoric days when the internet was being born, I wish we'd have become Oklahoma.com. We're just Oklahoma.com.
Are any other websites like that?
Kansas City is KansasCity.com. Wichita Eagle is Kansas.com. I wish we were Oklahoma.com.
Oklahoma.com.
Everybody else get in line behind us.
Yeah. And our email addresses would be better that way, too, because people often can't hear that in.
People are clueless. No offense, Kimmy Schmidt, or even you, Eric the Red, Louisiana man. People are clueless about the word Oklahoma. A lot of people read the word Oklahoman and call it Oklahoman or Oklahomian. It's the easiest word in the world to say. Put an N on the end of Oklahoma. Yeah. Oklahoman. It's just like Texan.
I've definitely heard my parents say Oklahomian before.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, man. I've been living here for like a long time.
No, why?
You know what's also tough? Utahn.
Utahn.
That
Utahn
is tough. That does not roll off the tongue.
Didn't we have this discussion?
That does not roll off the tongue.
Didn't we have this discussion one night? Maybe it was after a game.
I think we did.
We were talking about the state name, like the what you call people from certain or
Californian and Oklahoman. Same exact
Floridian. Formula. I like Floridian. I think that flows.
It doesn't flow.
It does flow.
It's got the I. You got to add the extra I.
We can get into a whole podcast about that because we did that one night. We were like,
Louisianan does not flow.
Does not.
Mississippian does not flow.
Alabaman
sort of flows. Oklahoman really flows. Californian really flows.
Washingtonian, beautiful.
I wouldn't.
Iowa's not a good word.
So a person from that is in Illinois would be an Illini? Or an Illinoisan.
Illini is a tribe.
Yeah, it's a. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know the answer.
We came to this podcast ill prepared. We needed to be able to provide people with answers.
This is what the people want to know.
This is more. This has a potential to be more intriguing than the finals we're about to watch. That's all I'm saying. We could go through all
very
these
little
states.
Question about that.
North Dakotans.
Ooh.
Idahoan.
Idahoans.
Not good. Carolinian.
Arizonian?
I've never heard. Arizonian, I think, is the way they say it, I think. But anytime you have to add the I, it's not good.
Yeah. Kansan is good. That's just
Kansan
like
is
Kansan.
Good.
Nebraskan.
Missourian, you have to add the I.
Missourian. The I's already there.
You have to add the A.
Well, yeah, that's right. In this case, you add the A. That's exactly right.
Look.
Hawaiian is just like Oklahoma.
Perfect.
Hawaiian
is perfect. That is the Alaskan. Ooh, yeah. Alaskan Airlines. Perfect. All right. Look. This is way more intriguing than...
Todd's back here shaking his head at us.
Todd's loving this. Okay. I'm not even going to go as far to say that our state's conversation is more intriguing than the finals, but I think it's a legitimate discussion. It's legitimate. And look, I might be in the minority in this. I don't think I am, really. We talked about this whole Kevin Durant need thing for the Warriors, and everybody's been beating it to death because we've had so many days in between the Warriors closing their series out and starting the finals on Thursday, which will be tomorrow or whenever you guys are listening. Today's Wednesday. But this is something kind of a revelation I came to this week. If the Warriors needed Kevin Durant, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
About the state names, you mean? No. I didn't know what conversation we were having.
About the state names.
What are people from Oakland called? Oaklands?
Scumbags.
Hey, man.
Whoa, Take it easy.
Okay.
People look down on Oakland.
Take it easy.
People on the east or west side of the bay look down on Oakland.
Oaklanders.
Look. I'm up there, yeah.
People on the west side,
okay.
People on the San Francisco side,
okay.
Look down on Oakland.
I like Oakland more than I like San Francisco.
Well, every time I go to Oakland, there's things about it I do too. I'm just saying, I'm nope. not. The people look okay. down on Oakland.
All right, you need to make it clear that that wasn't you saying that.
Wasn't me saying it. I sort of like Jack London Square and downtown where we ate across the street from the all-night Chinese joint.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I like
parts of people Oakland. Like it enough to go over and gentrify it. So.
Hey, well, that's like all of America now. So that's like a few miles west of us, you know?
We're getting back into the political buddies
okay,
podcast.
Okay, we need to step up. Barry lit a fuse here. Scumbags, what are we doing, man? We need to get Anthony on the podcast. But look, we're not talking about this if they need Kevin Durant. That's how I feel.
And we're not talking about what?
We're not, this entire conversation of them needing Kevin Durant or not, I don't think we're having it if they actually need Kevin Durant. Like, I just had, like, it just clicked earlier this week. And, like, y'all are looking at me like I'm
you
crazy.
Mean I'm confused. Are you confused, Kimmy Shue? I think what you're saying is this. If Russell Westbrook could make foul shots, we wouldn't be talking about his foul shooting. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes. No, but it's that simple.
Yeah, okay.
It's that simple. Yeah,
If they needed Durant...
We wouldn't be having.
We wouldn't be talking about how they don't need Durant
because they might. Look, this is the deal. If they needed Durant, the Blazers series would have went longer. If they needed Durant, they might have lost to Houston.
You seem to be saying this. The Warriors don't need Kevin Durant.
Yes.
That's what you seem to be saying.
Yes,
and I would agree with you.
Yes, so we
particularly against the Raptorians,
and we keep having this convoluted like this debate across. All media, whether or not the Warriors need Kevin Durant or not. Like,
I don't think they need him, but he's nice to have.
He's nice to have. You know what? You know who else would think that? The other 29, the Oklahoma City Thunder. they would think that very much
it's
so.
Sort of like, although a lot of other teams do need Kevin Durant.
Well, it's sort of like a Mercedes.
The other 29 teams.
Yes.
Durant is sort of like a Mercedes-Benz. You don't have to have a Mercedes-Benz, but it's pretty nice when you do have one.
Yeah.
It's a luxury.
Yeah,
it's a luxury.
And that's a sad place to be for probably the greatest scorer of his generation. That's a sad place to be.
But I think you could say that about, like, I mean, Klay Thompson is not Kevin Durant, but I think you could say that about Klay Thompson on this team.
Klay Thompson's not a luxury. They need Klay Thompson.
But if they have Kevin Durant and pull out Klay for a few games?
Is Kevin Durant going to chase around Kawhi Leonard on the perimeter for the entire game?
But the point is they're so stacked that if you pull out some of their best pieces, they make do.
What the real point and the real discussion is, there are people who make the case that they do need Steph Curry. But when they lose Steph Curry, they're not the same. They're not. They go from unbeatable to quite vulnerable. Now, when they lose Durant, they go from unbeatable to still probably not going to beat them or have much of a chance. But when they lose Curry, all of a sudden, they're not the same team. And you got a fighting chance to beat them. That's what the data says anyway. The record without Durant and everybody else is whatever it is, 35-4 or 146-4, whatever it is. When they play without Curry, all of a sudden they're human.
We talked ourselves into thinking that there was a fighting chance for Houston to beat them without Durant. And there was. I mean, until there wasn't.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was.
There was until there wasn't.
They're beatable. They're beatable without Kevin Durant. Still not likely to happen. That's the point. With Durant, just sit down. It's like Mannix. It's like Mannix. You know what's going to happen in the end. Just sit down and enjoy the show. Enjoy the action. Mannix is going to get his man at the end of the show.
And Toronto's got to get these home games. That's the biggest thing in their favor is that they've got the home court advantage.
Home court, which is probably news to a good chunk of America.
Yeah, I think they actually
people probably don't realize this series is starting in Toronto.
Yeah, which is
it's the Eric Horn Memorial NBA Finals. You got to have a passport.
To
cover game one, you got to have an American pass. If you're an American, you got to have a passport.
There are two people who have a 100% chance of not being in the building for these NBA finals.
You and Tony Jones.
Nope. Oh, Tony too? Okay, there's three people. Me, Tony Jones, and Enes Kanter. Actually, Enes has a better chance than I do because Enes can get some kind of...
He's got a passport.
It is he does have a passport. Well, yeah,
he's a world traveler. Of course he has a passport.
He just doesn't want to be extradited.
That's true. See, Ennis could also finagle some government help. I mean, I'm not going to be able to call David Holt.
James Lankford is not going to say, hey, can you expedite this passport application by Eric Korn, and who's had very good reason not to have one, which is procrastination.
Procrastination station.
For 4 years.
I'm not gonna have ambassadors and dignitaries speaking on my behalf to go.
Now that's a good question. Let's say the Thunder had a great run, somehow won the West.
I would have gotten a damn passport, Barry.
Well, here's my question: who would we call to call in favors? Ooh. Who would we call to say, "Hey, we need Eric Korn a passport"?
Okay, you would be calling someone because you've got all the pull in this situation.
So that's what I'm saying. Who would I call?
Just call Clay. You think Clay would help me?
He wouldn't answer. He can't get Clay to answer the phone.
Clay Bennett, the Thunder owner.
Listen, next time I call, I'm not trying to butt into Thunder news. I'm just trying to get Clay. I'm just trying to get Eric a passport. So there you go. Lankford.
David Holt.
I don't think he's got enough.
I think Mick's got pulled.
I'd call Mick before I'd call David. David hadn't been in office long enough.
Mick's got pulled. Lankford's a senator, huh?
He's a U.S. senator.
Yeah, that's...
I would probably call Lankford.
Lankford would probably be the guy.
I'd probably call him. I've been in his office.
So I may be covering this series alone, this theoretical series.
Look, Toronto's a beautiful place. If you want to go up there...
I love Toronto.
Look, they got to come back. They got to come back for at least two games. This is where the Thunder has...
I've thought about this. You tell me if we should try this. If this had happened and you didn't have a passport...
Hypotheticals.
The last time I went to Canada, the next last time I went to Canada, we went to Niagara Falls, and we drove up from Pittsburgh. And the dish and I, we were in a rental car, and we stopped at an Arby's to get a snack leaving Pittsburgh. And then we eventually got to Niagara Falls, and we went through customs and went through the border. We were in the drive-through line longer at Arby's than we were at customs.
I've heard some things about you. I've heard customs.
There was nothing to it.
Yeah.
I was thinking we pull over in Niagara Falls, New York, the three of us, and we just put you in the trunk.
Oh my goodness!
And we just put you in the trunk.
Okay, is it
illegal,
me and Kimmy Schmidt
illegally crossing the border?
Me and Kimmy Schmidt just drive up. He said, "Hey, you bringing it into the car? You carrying any guns, food, or whatever they ask?
Contraband? Like,
nope.
Whatever they're asking. Nope, none of that."
So we might be fine going in, but I don't think Eric's coming back to the U.S.
It's tougher to get into the U.S. than coming out.
You fly into Buffalo. We'd fly into Buffalo and do this. That would have been my suggestion. I would not have made the decision, but I would have offered the plan up. I think it would have been fine because I tell you, I wasn't in there 30 seconds. It's not a 30 sec. It's not a long line of cars. And it was an easy process. So that would have been my suggestion on how to have for you to cover the NBA Finals.
Sneak me in. It doesn't seem like an in and out of Mexico situation to me.
It's pretty simple.
Like the ones they show in the movies where like they got the dog sniffing under the cars and people are getting all scared because they got something in the car that they're coming back with from Mexico. It doesn't seem like
that. We just got something with good trunk space.
Yeah.
And made sure it's fairly ventilated. We'd have done a test ride.
Put some snacks back there with me, some water.
It's only like 5 minutes or so.
Once we get over the border, I can get out, stretch my legs.
You're fine. And then you're fine. And then we go about our business.
It's not a hot
That would have been my plan.
So, yeah, I don't have to get a passport. We can just do it this way. I mean, it's not.
But we make national news if we're happy.
Yeah. We're gone.
You are thrown out of the country. Me and Kimmy Schmidt apparently are incarcerated. I don't know what. Although they're Canadians, they're not going to get too worked up.
Hallie Hart's covering the rest of the series.
We'd have explained it to them. That's what we'd have done. We'd have explained it to them.
We'd have Mr. Unreliable. We'd have Next Question, and we'd have trying to smuggle a writer
into Canada.
We would be the most infamous news press organization in
fantastic.
The country.
We would be known. Worldwide.
We will be worldwide.
But it was for infamous. A good cause. We're trying to get Eric Thread into the NBA Finals.
I just got to get a damn passport. That's what it really comes down to. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this has devolved this much. But no, like, in terms of the series, the real series, not the hypothetical series, the actual series between the Golden State Warriors and Toronto Raptors. Barry, you blogged about it today about, you know, for the past few years, it's just been the, kind of this inevitability about Golden State. But this year in the Eastern Conference, we actually did not have that.
Man, wasn't it fun?
Yeah.
You didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was the darndest concept in sport.
It's interesting.
We don't know what's going to happen. I really enjoyed it.
It's been great. It's been
the Toronto Philly series, and then the Toronto Milwaukee series. Man, that was some good stuff.
It's been great too for us to be reminded of how good certain guys are, and I'm not just talking about Kawhi. And you start with Kawhi because Kawhi is just incredible. And the last time we
Fred
saw
Van Vliet.
Yeah, but thanks for waking up, Fred Van Vliet. I was going to call Rip Van Winkle. But, yeah, Fred Van Vliet, thanks for waking up. But, like, obviously Kawhi. You know, the last time we see him at his peak was that 2017 Western Conference Finals where Zaza undercuts him. And now he's just torn through the playoffs. And it's kind of a I'm not going to say it's a blessing that Durant got hurt, but it allowed for us to kind of zero in on how brilliant Kawhi's been, because Durant was dominating the beginning of the playoffs in terms of his numbers, and now we've been able to zero in on Kawhi just taking over, and the defense he played on Giannis in that series was just it reminded me of a, and God, people are going to kill me for this, like a single game sample. I remember Andre Robertson was really struggling the beginning of the 17-18 season when he was coming back from he had like a PRP injection in the beginning of the season. He was dealing with knee tendonitis. But he – oh, boy. Yeah, Rockets are doing stuff. But Robertson went up to Milwaukee, and he had kind of his breakout game of the season, and he pretty much shut Giannis down. He did a really great job on Giannis. And – to me, like it reminded me of the way that like Robertson took over the game with his defense, and that was one of those few times I've seen a guy play defense against Giannis that well. But Kawhi did it for an entire series, which is just absurd. I mean, Kawhi is a guy that we need to be talking about as one of the top three guys in the league, and we tend to forget about him because he's so damn quiet and he's in Toronto or he was in San Antonio, two places where you typically don't get a lot of buzz. But this guy's
except for when you laugh.
Except for when he makes that laugh that I'm not going to repeat because I'm going to sound ridiculous.
I love his post game interviews with Kristen Ludlow.
Yeah,
they were fantastic. You know, after game five, she asked him, "Hey, what's it going to take? You know, you guys have now won three in a row. What's it going to take for you to close out this series and win four in a row for Milwaukee?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. I've never done it." and then she says, "Well, what's the message now? You know, how do you?
Yeah.
What do you know? You guys have a chance to win this series. What's the mindset?
Yeah.
As you go back to Toronto?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I'm just now going back to the locker room." So
that brings up a great point. I was listening to a podcast a couple days ago. I think it might have been either. I'll give credit to both of them. It might have been either Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst or Zach Lowe. I think it was actually I can't remember which one. It was one of those ESPN podcasts. But they were talking about the whole concept of how much the Raptors pass or how much a team's pass and their failures in the past can affect what they're doing currently. And I think it was Kevin Arnovitz that made the argument that, like, that stuff doesn't apply because this team isn't team. That's not the DeMar DeRozan team. Mm-mm. That's not the same characters. And somebody asked Kawhi about, you know, the Raptors' playoff failings and how that affects this team's mindset after, like, they lost game one or something. Kawhi's like, "What are you talking about?" I wasn't here for that stuff.
They only have one player that has a deep history of that, and that's Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, yeah.
Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard,
Danny Green.
They played a million playoff games elsewhere.
Those guys are winners.
Siakam, Van Vliet, Norman Powell, those guys are young guys.
Yeah.
They've only been around, you know, this is our third years, I think, in the league. So this is not
– yeah.
You know, Kyle Lowry literally is the only guy that has a Toronto history – of sort of disappointment and failure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes that stuff doesn't apply. It's one thing if you're bringing back the same crew every year, and I think that's what had happened with Toronto. They sort of gotten shell-shocked by LeBron kicking their butts for however many years in a row in the Eastern Conference. But this is a different crew, man, and Kawhi is a different animal. He's incredible.
With all that said, it's not going to make any difference in the finals.
No.
This was an Eastern Conference achievement, and it comes to a screeching halt about the fourth time Klay Thompson makes a three and Steph Curry hits a 32-footer. So,
I like how Daryl Morey like tells Woj, gives the all call, like, hey, tweet out that everybody's available. Just tell them everybody's on the table except James Harden. Just let it be known.
Well, yeah. Of course everybody's on the table.
Which is how it should be, frankly. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, we'll trade Chris Paul on that $40 million contract. We'll trade our draft pick, which is, what, 27th?
Yeah. Houston is not afraid to put it on the line and put it out there. They are the anti-Thunder in that regard. The Thunder will not ever let their intentions be known publicly, but Houston will just say, yeah, well.
Well, maybe they'll send the Thunder P.J. Tucker. Thunder could use P.J. Tucker.
They could have used P.J. Tucker 4 years ago.
29 teams could use P.J. Tucker.
P.J. Tucker's fantastic. I like his fight. Like I said on the podcast before, every time he used to come to Oklahoma City with the Suns, he'd start a fight. And I was like, I like that guy.
I like P.J. Tucker.
I asked our good friend Darnell Mayberry at The Athletic. I asked him this question about the Durant situation. And I want to pull it up here so I'm sure exactly what I said. In regard to this series, what does the world need more? Now, a lot of scenarios here. Durant plays and the Warriors win.
Who do you mean by the world?
The world. Earth.
Okay. Planet Earth. Okay.
Planet Earth.
Do they need Durant plays and
Warriors win. Durant doesn't play. Warriors win. Kawhi wins. Durant plays. Kawhi wins. Durant doesn't play.
The latter is what we don't need.
I'll tell you what Durant needs. He needs the Warriors to start out not playing. Warriors lose a few games. Comes back in. They win it. That's what Durant needs.
What does he need that for, though?
His self-esteem.
His personal...
His value to the Warriors.
His
value to the Warriors.
I don't think his value to the Warriors... I think his value to the Warriors is irrelevant, because I think he's going to bounce regardless.
Yeah, you're right.
Just for his, like, personal well-being. Like, look, I did matter.
Well, the world... The planet Earth... You always start with the Warriors losing. That's what planet Earth could go for. That's the starting line. So you want them to? Here's the best thing: Durant plays, Warriors lose. I mean, that's planet Earth's block
that's
party.
That's what Darnell picked.
Block party.
He picked Kawhi wins, Durant plays.
That's the block party across the nation, Mozambique to Montana. People will be partying in the streets.
Did you see the map of who everyone's rooting for?
No, I didn't.
It's like there's a little chunk of blue that's like Northern California and Nevada, and everything else is red.
So most parts of California aren't even rooting for the Warriors?
Let me double check on that.
It's
certainly only
Toronto's America's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Canadian team's America's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for the world, it would be best if in any scenario if the Warriors lost, because it would just give hope to the galaxy. It would be like beating Darth Vader, blowing up the Death Star.
It's just by state, so it's all of California, but
we know. Draw a line around somewhere south of Fresno, or maybe north of Fresno. They're not cheering for the Warriors.
Yeah. And
they've got Hawaii. Sorry, Warriors.
Hawaiians
missed out. Hawaiians
like the Warriors
are with the Californians. Yeah.
This is from
SF Gate.
Well, so that's
San Francisco Chronicle.
That's just they're sticking together by phonetic sounding of their state name. That's all they're sticking with. Hawaii and California. That's all they're sticking with.
Oh, boy. So many people are going to get traded very soon.
It's gonna be fun.
Houston's gonna blow up.
It's gonna be fun.
Houston's gonna blow up their whole team. This is gonna be nuts in the next few days.
Why would you blow up your team if you're Houston? Because Durant leaves, all of a sudden you think, well, let's go. Let's see what happens.
Daryl Morey can't help himself. And he probably sees a certain window for blow it up is probably an extreme term. Shake up. Shake up's different than blow up. Blow up is get to the lottery. Shake up is move some heavy furniture.
I wouldn't be shaking up much if I was Houston. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't go messing with good.
This is the thing. Like, who would they even trade? Like, most of the guys who they would want theoretically are going to be free agents. Now you move stuff so you can try and get closer to.
He's trying to add a superstar, probably.
Probably trying to go get Jimmy Butler, somebody like that. Jimmy wanted to come to Houston to begin with. Or maybe he's trying to make room for Anthony Davis.
Who knows?
In which case, the Thunder better get on the phone.
Probably should get on the phone anyways.
I mean, they're probably on the phone. Just not as much currently. As Daryl. Daryl lives on the phone. Daryl is a phone company.
He never hangs up.
Never. Mm. It's all fascinating. Which, by the way... Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis and LeBron James were having dinner this week.
What was that all about? TV production or entertainment production stuff?
I don't know. Like some people have speculated some Space Jam 2 casting situation.
My gosh, yes.
Because Chris Paul was in that kind of group too. They were all out. I think Chris Paul and LeBron James and Westbrook and Tristan Thompson were smoking some cigars in LeBron's backyard or something. There were a bunch of people there. And then Westbrook and Anthony Davis, who used to share an agent, so they have some history. They were with LeBron James at dinner.
That'd be a good cast.
That'd be solid. Be a good cast. Have you seen Space Jam, Barry?
No.
What?
I haven't seen it.
His daughter's older though. His only daughter's older, and then his granddaughters. Your oldest granddaughter's how old?
12.
Barry, so
she
would have
been born post Space Jam.
Is it animated?
It's a combination. I can't believe we were explaining Space Jam. Came out in 95. Michael Jordan.
I sort of remember. Yeah. Well, hey, he was 13 in 95.
The Looney Tunes characters are the ones who are animated. And then it's like real life and cartoon land. And they're monsters.
I'm not all that crazy about crossover stuff. I like Pixel and all that stuff.
It might be the best movie ever made.
Easy, Maddie. Okay, she's right. It's the second best movie.
I might go out on a limb and say perhaps not.
Do you know what we should do on this podcast? We should watch the movie with Barry and mic him up.
While we're talking about it, there's going to be a lot of questions asked.
We'll have to do a simulcast. Am I wrong? Did Michael Jordan film that when he was out of basketball for a little while?
Probably.
No, he was back. It was like soon after he did his little baseball stint because they have a baseball scene in
93,
it.
93, 94, 94, 95 is the two seasons he mostly missed.
I think the movie came out in 95. I can easily
I think it
up.
Was right after he came back to basketball.
Right. Yeah, I think it was after
Space
he came
Jam
back.
Is better than Shazam?
Oh, yes. Shazam is...
Is it better than The Fish That Ate Pittsburgh?
I've never seen that movie.
I've never.
Is it better than He Got Game?
No. It's a different category. It's like Space Jam has got Bill Murray in it. Like, He Got Game is pretty serious subject matter compared to Space Jam.
You mean Looney Tunes does not...
Hey,
not
they hit on some real
okay, Space Jam
topics.
Came out in 96.
96.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like he probably did film it when he was out.
It gets pretty awful ratings on across the board. 43% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How?
59% Metacritic. It's not Michael Jordan's acting is terrible.
What's Roger Ebert
but
and
also
Gene
beautiful.
Say? That's really all I care.
6.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
This is breaking my heart right now.
More of a nostalgic value that's connected to like not just people who grew up in that time, which were a lot of millennials, but also and people who use Twitter. But also because of the soundtrack. The soundtrack was, it's very transcendent. I Believe I Could Fly.
So good. Also, someone pointed out to me, which I've never before noticed, Charles Barkley is never with the group.
Really?
He's like pretty much always like off on his own and everyone else is together. I have to rewatch it
That is true. And I bet Charles was big time, and because he was a little bit bigger of a star than some of those other guys, like Sean. I mean, he's a way bigger star than Sean Bradley, Muggsy Bogues, and Larry Johnson. So Charles is probably big time in people. I don't know that. Don't put me on the record, people. I'm just saying Charles was a.
There's got to be some fun explanation.
There was a tier. There's a tier there, and Charles is a higher tier than those other guys. Charles was coming off an MVP. Probably a couple seasons before that or something. We got way off track.
This is a fun pod.
It is fun. Y'all want to talk about... We haven't taken a break or anything. I don't think we need to take a break. I guess we could talk about these Thunder assistants a little bit.
Why would we talk about them?
There's not really anything to talk about.
We don't know them.
We don't. I've had conversations with
Mark Bryant
both of these guys several times.
Mark Bryant came over in the land run, and we know nothing about him. That's how long he's been here.
They're both very nice individuals. I know nothing about what they provide tactically.
We watch Mark Bryant working with the bigs.
Yeah, he's been doing that for years.
That's all. That's the extent.
Bob Beyer, from everyone I've spoken to about him, and this is the Van Gundy's, or Billy Donovan, has a very keen attention to detail. So the best kind of story that I guess Stan Van Gundy probably told me was, like, if you're watching film, the coaches sometimes in Detroit's bunch would get all tied up in the tactical sense of it. And Bob Beyer would always be the guy that brought them back to the basics of what they're doing wrong or right. Like, okay, he'd get back to the fundamentals of it. Hands, hustle, stuff like that. I don't know how much that plays into the Thunder's success or not. They had a very good defense this year. I don't know how much he had to do with that. But he was a guy that's very keen on fundamentals. And look, some of the guys on the Thunder have great fundamentals. Some of the guys on the Thunder don't have very good fundamentals. But I don't know if that's a buyer thing or not.
Why would he leave? Why would he go to Sacramento?
I think that's the biggest question about all these guys.
Why would Mark Bryant go to Phoenix?
Yeah. I think Mark Bryant going to Phoenix seems more of a thing that makes sense because of Monty. And the way that Monty brings in people.
I got a question for you.
But I wouldn't go to Sacramento under any circumstances unless it's just a money, quality of life thing.
I got a question for you. What if they just fear they may not have a job next summer?
Mm. I think that's a question too. I think you look at it a couple different ways. You can look at it as... The Thunder brings in assistance that people value, but the Thunder is also at a place where there's a lot of uncertainty in regard to the future with Billy Donovan. Obviously, they're going to bring him back this year, but beyond that, who knows? Look, Adrian Griffin might have felt the same way. I was reading an Athletic article about some of these coaching candidates for the Memphis Grizzlies job. And Adrian Griffin, a guy who was with the Thunder a couple years ago, is one of those candidates. And Eric Corrine, who covers the Athletic covers the Raptors for the Athletic, he said that Adrian Griffin didn't want to be pigeonholed as just a defensive guy, which was part of the reason that, he wanted to get out and kind of go somewhere else and be a coach in Toronto. So I think that sometimes guys get kind of like pigeonholed when it comes to here. Like Mark Bryant's been strictly like big men.
He also, like Barry said, has been here since the beginning. He's been here since Seattle. He's been with this team since they were in Seattle. And so, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to reunite with a guy you've worked with in 15, 16? Is that the right year?
That was the Monty Williams year.
And shake it up a little after doing the same thing for over a decade.
Look, if Monty Williams called me, I'd probably go too. Because Monty Williams is a hell of a dude.
Yeah, everything I've heard, it seems like everyone around in the league just kind of loves him.
I like Monty Williams. Don't know him, but everything I see, I like.
Don't know if it's going to work. I mean...
If he'll be there for more than their track record on keeping coaches for more than a year.
Yes. That's how much of a mess the Lakers are.
Is that
Monty Williams picked Phoenix right. over that?
Yeah,
a team that's had five coaches in 5 years.
And has a terrible owner.
Pretty awful.
And a bad roster.
They don't have a point guard.
But my goodness, the Lakers are. I don't know how else to say it besides without using profanity.
They're a show.
They're a show.
They're a show.
A specific type of show.
They're a show that people tend to not want to tune into. Actually, people do actually like tuning into this one.
Because it's
a show.
Wild.
It's a car wreck.
Twists and turns. Yeah.
NASCAR.
It's a car wreck. That's the best way.
It seems like from week to week, more comes out of this Lakers thing, or people continue to kind of shovel on to the Lakers thing. And, you know, Baxter Holmes.
That's right.
Had a piece on ESPN.com this week about, you know, some of the, you know, the behind the scenes just kind of chaos of the Lakers, just kind of expanding on it. And, you know, everybody's talked about it the news cycle was just consumed with it for an entire day. And then Magic Johnson says, well, shoot, I'm just going to go on SportsCenter later on tonight and talk about it. And then Magic said, okay, this is the best part about that special last night that Magic did on SportsCenter with Stephen A. Smith and some other guys, Doc Rivers.
I heard it was embarrassing.
In what regard?
In how soft they treated Magic Johnson.
There's a clear line drawn when it comes to ESPN and Magic Johnson. There's the Stephen A. Smith, Wilbon. Look, we can call it what it is. It seems like the more established black writers and reporters are on the Magic side, and everybody else is kind of going in on Magic. Now, to Baxter Holmes' credit, he took it from every angle. He talked about the Pelinka stuff, about how Pelinka's just out here lying. Just about nonsense.
He makes Rob Pelinka look the worst.
Basically, Rob Pelinka has no friends in this. There aren't really anybody in the media that's really saying that Rob Pelinka's competent.
He looks like Rob Lowe?
A ton. I said this long before.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Long before
just
he
making
got
sure.
Job. He's the doppelganger. He's
just
Rob Lowe.
Making sure.
His name's also Rob, which makes it even worse. But nobody's defending Pelinka. The Magic shots are kind of depends on what side you're on. Stephen A. Smith is defending Magic. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong because I just don't know. It's basically just people. I think Jalen Rose said this. He said it's CYA time. It's cover your ass time. People are just out here just covering their asses. So, I don't know what's right or wrong. There seems to be a consensus now that Jeannie Buss has mismanaged the entire thing, which I could tend to agree with because it starts at the top. But it's just so messy. And it's particularly messy because you have the world's best player and it's messy. Like, having a guy like that, you shouldn't be wasting that kind of opportunity. And it seems to be that and look, they go get a free agent this summer and LeBron stays healthy and it's not a wasted opportunity. That they make the playoffs. They probably make the playoffs if LeBron stays healthy this year. And everybody's looking at this a bit differently. But they didn't. LeBron's getting older and they're making themselves look ridiculous right now. And it's going to be hard to see anybody of any ability to change where they are now exponentially.
Kawhi Leonard's not going to the Lakers.
Nor should he.
Right. Kevin Durant, not going to the Lakers.
Nor should he. Anybody else?
Jimmy Butler's not going to the Lakers.
Klay Thompson's not going to the Lakers.
Klay Thompson's not going to the Lakers, even though his dad was serious Lakers.
Klay Thompson has no incentive to go to the Lakers.
Mm-mm. Nobody does, unless you're just looking for a chance to make something of yourself.
I mean,
it's a mess. Makes you appreciate an organization like the Thunder, or the Jazz, or the Blazers, or the Spurs, or the Pacers, or the Raptors, or people just that do things right and don't create a cesspool.
Right. Well, and every team's going to have its inner butting of heads and stuff, but the Lakers are at a point where nobody likes each other. And they're not going to cover for anyone else. And so they're just all pointing fingers, and it's, and then all of their stuff, which likely is a lot more than some other teams in the league, is just getting unearthed.
It's like a spy novel. I mean, and you literally said it, Kenny Schmidt. You can't trust each other. There's nobody you can trust. I mean, there's a good line in that story about how, you know, some agent told Baxter Helms, hey, the players, when it, like LeBron, Rich Paul, his agent, Rich Paul, everybody on the team playing knows this guy's trying to get the coach fired and the players traded. So,
yeah,
he walks into the room and everybody just, you know, freezes up and says, this isn't good.
Not ideal for your chemistry.
No. No.
when you're
a young player like Ingram or Ball or Kuzma or Hart, I mean, it just soils everything about the early part of your career. And you sort of know, hey, this is going to end someday, either here or another team, and I'm going to have to figure out how you conduct yourself, because this is so dysfunctional. They don't even know how to, what it's like to be in a good situation.
I wonder if LeBron regrets his decision.
I don't think he does. And like I know, I don't know, but like, he did that for more than basketball.
Right. He still lands in a great place for his movie career, and we just talked about Space Jam, and L.A.'s a cool place to live, and he's proven a lot already.
You know what's scary, too? Like, LeBron with a real offseason.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know how many years in a row, you know how many games he's played? Like,
and he had a big rest in the regular season.
Yeah.
He's been used to playing about 100 games, and this year he played 50, right? Isn't that about right? Maybe less.
And it's really a testament to how great these teams, you know, the LeBron teams in the East, regardless of who he's going up against, the Warriors teams now. These teams have been playing 100 games a year for five years for the Warriors, 5 years straight of 100 games. However many years, yeah. LeBron
played
did
55.
He did eight straight,
this year.
Eight straight NBA Finals.
It's incredible. I mean, people can crap on LeBron's competition in the East. He still had to. I mean, he went out there and played a majority of those games for eight straight years.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
55 this season. Games.
I'm excited to see what is going to happen, regardless of whether they get a free agent or not. It's going to be interesting to see a well rested LeBron James going into this season. Because I think they will be a better team, even if they just run it back, which they won't. They're gonna make some kind of move. They're gonna trade some guys. They're gonna do something. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens with a healthy LeBron James with the Lakers, because we've never seen a healthy LeBron James. What we've seen of him in the Western Conference for the short period of time he was healthy, they were a decent team. They were a playoff team, but we've never seen it for a full season.
Yeah.
And look, even that team and their hodgepodge of young guys, they gave the Thunder trouble this year. And that's not
– Without LeBron.
Without LeBron. And look, Thunder, for whatever reason, you know, checks in and out of games.
A lot of bad teams give them
trouble. A lot of teams that don't have star power, they just say, oh, well, we're not going to play as hard as we could tonight. But, no, the Lakers have talent. And LeBron can bring it together. We talked about a lot of things today.
I thought it was a good podcast.
Oh, solid.
Really good.
Who y'all got for the finals?
I'll take Golden State.
How many games?
I'm going to say four.
What if I just came out here with Toronto in five? No, you're looking at me like I'm serious.
I'm still kind of shocked from Barry's Golden State in four. I feel like Toronto will get one game at home.
I'll say four.
Dang.
I agree. They proved this past series that they're really good at home, and all of the regular season. I'll do Golden. You just said it, but I'll do Golden State in five.
I think they're going to split the games without Durant. 1 and 2. Then they'll win the two home games, and then they'll come back to Toronto, and that's going to be a coin toss. But I'll say Golden State in 5. They'll close them out in Toronto. That's what I'll say. But they'll get a game at home. Drake will take the Raptors on his shoulders and carry them to victory. How do you okay, I need Barry's opinion. How do you feel about Drake massaging coach's shoulders, Barry? How do you feel about Drake just touching Nick Nurse in such a way to motivate him? What would be the Oklahoma City equivalent?
That's
of
what
that?
I was about to say. Who
the Oklahoma City?
Who can equivalent? Walk up to Billy Donovan and be like, boop, boop.
Let's go. Give him a touch.
I don't know. Gabe Eichert? I don't know. That's the only.
He usually sits on the
he
opposite
sits on the upper, like, well, we Tom Love? No, he sits on the opposing side. I don't. We don't have any famous people sit on our side.
We don't
side.
Have any regulars that sit in that seat next right. between the scorer's table and the Billy Donovan coaching area. It would probably be that guy with like the kind of slick back hair. Who sits second
know.
Row?
I don't know.
Enjoys libation.
Maybe Lincoln Riley get up when he's sitting there on the baseline. He walk over there.
Lincoln Riley sat in those seats before, yeah. In between the Thunder bench,
right,
and the scorers table. But Clay Bennett just got up in the middle of the game and just
amazing.
Kristen Chenoweth, our resident.
Oh yeah, that fan. That would be it. But she couldn't reach it.
She couldn't reach even Billy Donovan's shoulders.
It's true. Ray Westbrook. We should get Ray Westbrook.
Westbrook.
We should get Ray Westbrook to be the hype man. The Billy Donovan hype man.
Oh, well. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey is who comes to mind with the Texas basketball deal. That's the ridiculousness of what this is.
It's quite ridiculous. Drake is basically an assistant coach.
A mascot. He's the team mascot is what he is.
That too. He really like patrols the sidelines like nobody I've seen. And they just give him so much leave. They should have
what's
a Drake.
What's his last name or first name?
It's Aubrey Drake Graham. I think it's Graham.
Yeah, Aubrey Graham.
I think his last,
I don't go for this one word stuff.
He's a rapper, Barry.
Yeah, I mean still. You know, like Nene. When I type Nene when the Rockets are playing and he gets a big rebound or something, I gotta put him in my column. I put his last name in there.
You're not a Yanni fan?
Nene Hilario. No. No, I'm telling you, everybody's got two names. Use them. It's the way we identify people.
Okay.
Just let Nas down.
Okay. I was trying to think of some like famous musicians with like one name. Shakira.
What if a politician did that? Wouldn't that be a good shtick for a politician?
Langford.
Just one name. Or
Bill.
I'm trying to think of
W.
The Donald.
The Donald is probably the closest we've got to us.
That's ridiculous.
Hillary got close. Nobody called her Clinton. Everybody called her Hillary.
Hillary.
That's true.
Yeah. Obama. I mean, Obama's just Obama. People don't say Barack Obama. People just say Obama.
Obama. That's true. Well, most people say George Bush.
Yeah, most people say.
Even though there are two George Bushes.
That's true.
Even saying George Bush doesn't limit the field.
Well, like a lot of people go by their initials too, like JFK or like FDR.
LBJ.
LBJ.
Yep, that's true. It's like very true.
Nixon.
Yep.
All right. We are super tangented out today. We have had so many tangents. We've had some fun tangents. Minnesotans?
I don't know.
I think it's Minnesotans.
Minnesotans.
We'll ask them. They're in the Women's World Series. We'll ask them today when they're in town.
Hey, we should do that with all of them. We should. How do you call yourself? What do you think?
I'm going to change my A1 story for
we've
today.
Got Arizona. We can ask Arizonians.
Washingtonians.
Washingtonians. Alabamans.
Two Oklahomans. Floridians.
Floridians flows, man. I'm sorry. It flows well.
You know, there was an ABA fluttering team called the Miami Floridians.
Really?
In the ABA. In the late 60s, early 70s. No doubt about it. Calvin Mack played for them.
We don't have any. We lost our Illinoisans.
Illinois. I don't know what. We'll find to ask. Illinois is the one that really has me. I have no idea. I do not know. Don't know about Illinois.
Michiganders.
You just got the best.
Weird.
Let me tell you who's got the best one. Probably Trump's Oklahomans, Californians, Hawaiians. New Yorkers.
That's solid.
That's good solid.
That
New
good.
Yorkers.
What do people from Maine call themselves? Manians?
Agnostics.
Maniacs?
Maniacs.
I'd be maniacs. Agnostics.
They should do that.
Canadians?
Barry's okay. Over here just firing shots at everybody.
Oakland is fuming right now. Oakland's still fuming from like 45 minutes ago.
Oakland, we love you.
I love
Oakland. Where did we stay, Eric and Red, when we were there? We stayed in Oakland.
Yeah, we stayed in the little Asian district.
I'm honestly bummed that they're not going to be playing in Oakland next year.
Yeah, me too.
I'm bummed for our pocketbooks.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I do love San Francisco. No offense to San Francisco, but Oakland is
I'm going to miss Oakland. I'm going to make a trip. I'm just going to go to Oakland and hang out in that little downtown Oakland area because I like it that much. And I'm going to go to that Chinese restaurant. Anyway, thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We talk too much. Thanks to Maddie and Barry for joining me in the podcast studio. Thanks to you for subscribing and downloading on Apple Podcasts. Share it, love it, listen to it all throughout the summer. And we will see you probably next week. And we'll talk a little bit more finals and a little bit more Thunder.